hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. Tonight I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fight inside of me. Running down the way to life, I'm fighting and talking like me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fight inside me. Just how long the rest of us can count and be free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fight inside of me. Yeah, walking on the fight inside me. Running down the way of life, I'm if you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fight inside me. Yeah, walking on the fight inside me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and falling down me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. And you run down my country, man. You're walking on right beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fight inside of me. And that's the name of this program here on LightResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. And of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Anyway, perhaps we can start off with a... I don't want to denigrate the efforts of the people not in any country in managing this coronavirus pandemic. Again, whether it's incredible hype of what is really just a bad flu, or whether it's it is, as we're told, we are going to have to watch extensively for people taking advantage, both commercially, and I mentioned that in the last couple of shows, or in terms of restricting our rights. It's very disappointing today in the National Post, and this is Friday, to read a column by Diane Francis. Now, Diane Francis has written many good commonsensical columns over the years, many of them on immigration and related issues. She's a financial columnist, and generally I think her views are solid. However, she argues that to get a hold of this pandemic, we are going to have to be prepared to give up our freedoms. The government's going to have the right to spy on us, to spy on our cell phones, to monitor our movements, and if we are not where we're supposed to be, to do everything from finding us massively or to arresting us. Now, that's already to some extent happening, not the spying part necessarily, but the arrest, the power to arrest and to fine. There has to be a better way. And the problem, of course, with any erosion of freedoms is that this then becomes the new normal. Didn't President Trump proclaim, like, just about a few months ago that ISIS had been defeated? Wasn't it ISIS and Al-Qaeda that were the major enemies? Way back, remember 9/11? That was how long ago? That was 19 years ago. 19 years, well, not, 18 and a half, to be absolutely bluntly accurate. 18 and a half years ago. Somebody born on 9/11 in many jurisdictions in North America would already be considered an adult, certainly old enough to vote, in many jurisdictions old enough to drink, certainly old enough to drive a motor vehicle. You've gone from infancy to adulthood. Now, we lost a lot of our freedoms of mobility back then. The endless and increasingly intrusive security checks going onto planes. Now, I've dealt with this before, but to make a somewhat long story a bit shorter, most of these intrusive and incredibly expensive, there's a whole multi-billion dollar industry associated with this. A lot of this is unnecessary. The Israelis, you'd think, well, one of the most dangerous airports on earth must be Tel Aviv, right? Arab terrorists and all that type of stuff. Well, it probably is a dangerous place, but the Israelis have handled that in an amazing fashion. It doesn't take you hours and hours and hours to go through security. You might think it would, but it doesn't. It's not that way. Instead of take off this, take off that, leave your water on this side, but you can have your water on the other side. Endless rules. The Israelis are observing your vehicle as you approach the airport. Exactly what they're watching for, I'm not sure. But they've got trained psychological observers, and they have in their own mind a profile of a problematic person. I'm not saying they can necessarily spot a terrorist a mile away, but the there's a profile. Okay, now you get off, and you proceed to the kiosk where you you get your boarding pass. You know, you check in. And drop your luggage, etc. They've got more observers. They're watching you, and they're profiling you as to, you know, whether you deserve a second check. Okay, you now, with your boarding pass in your hot little hands, proceed to security. Now that's where you think there would be, you know, practically make you take all your clothes off. Well, no, they don't. They've been watching. There's a quick minimum security check. And only if you fit the profile for a second check do you get called over. Here in Canada, depending on the airport, you can be called for a random security check, secondary check, where they touch a piece of cloth to your hands, to your a computer, to your laptop, etc., and just feed it into a machine, and so on. They do that only in Israel for those people deemed worthy of a second check. It's not called by computer. I'm told, now this may be a lie, but I'm told that what this happens to me, and it happens fairly frequently. Oh, I said, how did I get so lucky? No, I never let on that. Oh, I'm so happy to be, you know, to have this intrusion. I'm not happy. because I think it's mostly bullshit. Anyway, I'm told, well, it's just random. The computer selected you. It's amazing how in our society, individual responsibility is so easily fobbed off. It's the computer. Not me personally, the computer did. I have my ongoing battle with incredibly rude letters I get from Canada Post Corporation. CIFAR and CAFE have what are called rates. Now, rates are a post office term for postpaid envelopes. So when we put out our mail, our fundraisers, we include a postpaid envelope, which means that if you send us a donation, or the odd, not very nice person sends us an envelope stuffed with usually irrelevant clippings or photocopies or whatever, but we end up paying for it, okay? And that's a courtesy to our subscribers and supporters, and also it's a little bit of an incentive. You know, if you're about to make a donation but you just don't happen to have a postage stamp around, this just makes your life a little easier. Okay, we've been doing this for years. They're called rates. And the post office, as they come in, tallies them up, gives us a statement every month of how much we owe. And then we pay. But I don't pay every month. I'll admit it. I'll tell you why. There's some months in which very few come in because there hasn't been a fundraiser. So why should I go to all the effort of writing a check for, you know, $17.34 and taking out a dollar stamp and mailing it off to Ottawa? So the next month I will get a threatening letter. Now, it's never signed by anybody. Warning the account could be cut off, and to reinstate it would cost so much, and interest is accruing at such and such a rate, and it's never signed. So I sometimes send these back, and I write on them, they indicate the interest rates, and I will write things like, Tony Soprano would be ashamed to charge. Yeah, you know, we as Canadians are constantly being treated by our so-called betters in a goonish fashion. And I ask, I say, this is a threatening letter. Why doesn't anybody have the courage to actually sign this letter? Cowards. Sometimes I'll add, what a way to treat a customer. I mean, a long-time customer. We've been using this service for 30 years. You know, we have a track record. On several occasions, I've actually called and said, I'd like to know who signed this letter. If you're going to make a threat, put a name on the bottom. You know, because frankly, it has not much more honor than, you know, taking a magic marker and writing some threatening thing on a washroom wall. I did get an answer, and I was told, it's a letter generated by a computer. I said, really? I mean, does nobody work there anymore? So somebody programmed the computer. I mean, is your operation taken over by computers? I don't mean the sorting and things like that. Computers, of course, have a very important and good role to play. Anyway, whatever the truth is, that alibi is frequently made. It's not our fault. It's the computer. Anyway, in terms of the mismanagement in Canada of this COVID or coronavirus crisis, this is a very, very disturbing, but I would say, given the pro-red Chinese sentiments so prevalent in the Liberal government, they're riddled with pro-Chinese people. including the prime minister, who said he admires the Chinese system because, organized as it is, they can change policy on a dime. Because it's a dictatorship. So when the Central Committee, or primarily Xi Jinping, says something, well, then that's just the way it has to be, and anybody who goes against that goes off to the gulag. And the system does have the advantage of being able to move extremely quickly. It also has the disadvantage of any dictatorship, and that is that information is very spotty. Why? Well, because you don't want to tell a boss something he doesn't want to hear. In fact, that's what happened to one of the first doctors, an ophthalmologist in Wuhan, who began noticing patients with these strange, let's say, flu-like symptoms, very virulent. And he sounded the warning on the social media. Well, he was arrested. What? Arrested for spreading rumors. It's a little bit like some countries in the West here, where you can be arrested, you can go to jail for having the wrong views on the so-called Holocaust. Anyway, as it became obvious that there really was an epidemic there, he was released. But he's now dead. No, he didn't die from what happened in prison. He died because he got the coronavirus. That is a problem, you see, with countries with lack of freedom. If you don't have freedom of speech, it's very hard to discuss things. The leader knows whatever the leader knows, and the leader on that basis makes a decision, which you better not challenge unless you want to go to the gulag. But it's not a good system. Anyway, all that aside, here's the scandal. Canada sent approximately 16 tons of personal protective equipment, such as clothing, face shields, masks, goggles, and gloves, to Communist China at the beginning of February. Maybe it's a bit surprising China would need it. It makes all this stuff, and it's not known to struggle with emergency production. This is a country that recently built two new hospitals in 2 weeks. But this Global Affairs Canada press release put it, fighting coronavirus at its source was vital to protecting the health and safety of people around the world. Well, wait a second. Early February. And you know, this has moved awfully fast. But we were already having a few cases in Canada. There was strong reason to believe on the Chinese model that this would spread. Duh! We might need some of those supplies ourselves, maybe. Some weeks down the line. Now we're at we're now at March 27th. 6 weeks farther along. We knew, or the government knew, that the cases in Canada were all, at that point, traceable back to China. People who'd recently visited China, or come from that part of China. Okay, so China's a problem. We have a lot of traffic coming in from China. Tourists, businessmen, various other people, students. We have large numbers of people. We have many planes a day coming from China, the source of a coronavirus. Why? It wouldn't take an act of a predictive genius to conclude, maybe there could be a problem here. We already know there is a problem. Maybe it will get worse. On the Chinese model, maybe it will get a lot worse. Why send that equipment to them, considering that they make it? This is part of the, brain-numbing scandal. They make this stuff.
And as the little report I just read suggested, they're in the position to massively increase production when they want or when they need. So while I certainly would agree with the notion that we should that in the cases of an international pandemic, it's wise to put other disputes on the back burner. But nonetheless, China is holding two Canadians as hostages, basically, because we are holding Meng Wanzhou, and she's the daughter of a big shot, or the owner of the of Huawei. Huawei, of course, has produced that 5G technology, which will be used to spy on, for the Red Chinese, spy on users for the government. Red China has done us no favors, just the opposite. We should not be bending over to do them favors. It sends the wrong signals. And of course, it sends the wrong signals to a regime that tries to measure, are you strong or weak? If you're weak, we'll crush you. And of course, they're only too happy to do so. Well, it's good to see that not everybody around the world is prepared to roll over and play dead with the threats that we face today. I have here over Facebook a very encouraging story. It is that the Poles have sent troops to Greece to help them deal with the invasion that's been largely engineered now, or this is the most recent iteration, by Turkey, next door Turkey. Here's a little item that that might be of interest. I will get back to that in a minute. But more people died from suicide than coronavirus in Tennessee this week. Kind of interesting. More people died from suicide than coronavirus. Now, are we on the verge of shutting down the nation because some people decide to off themselves? No. Here's a, I guess you just about knew it was going to happen type of story. A Toronto man named Jesse Wong. I don't think that boy came from County Tipperary. Has been arrested. Woofer. Well, he's been arrested, according to the Toronto Sun. A Toronto man is facing charges after fake COVID-19 virus test kits were seized at the Canada-US border recently. On Wednesday, Toronto police received information from the United States Department of Homeland Security and other law enforcement agencies regarding a parcel that was intercepted at the border. The parcel contained 25 individual prohibited COVID-19 testing kits, police said. Through investigation, police determined the packages were shipped out of Toronto. Police allege other parcels of fake COVID-19 tests were shipped to the United States from Canada. On Thursday, police executed a search warrant near Cosborne and Pape Avenue, that's in the east end of Toronto. Jesse Wong, 43, of Toronto, was arrested and charged with fraud under $5,000 and possession of a forgery device. His photograph was not released. Why not? He is scheduled to appear in court on May 28th. Quote, Toronto police would like to remind the public to be extra vigilant when it comes to those trying to sell or provide products or services associated to COVID-19. There are no legitimate home test kits available, police said. Anyway. Interesting, isn't it? There was a Winnipeg man arrested earlier this week on somewhat similar charges. But this the charges they're regarded selling products that they claim were herbal products that would cure COVID. This guy too, this herbalist was also, you won't believe this, Chinese. Yeah. He was arrested. See, and I know there are many people who are concerned that who follow alternative procedures, and I don't have a problem with that. If you do think something will be good, provide you with some protection, fair enough. But you can't make false claims, and the what this guy was selling for, of course, a very big price, he was making a claim that it couldn't possibly be verified, so he was charged. A Chinese. You see. They are a scamming nation, and in many ways not to be trusted. Anyway, all of that began with my going to my Facebook, and seeing an item that had been posted. About this Polish government giving lending some troops to to Greece and Turkey has provided. Allowed, contrary to its agreement with the European Union, allowed tens of thousands of illegals, refugee claimants, to move toward the Greek border and actually to try to storm their way across the border. The Greeks have been thrusting them back. In some cases, there are examples of Turkish military providing some support, including wire cutters to the mostly Muslim illegals trying to invade Europe. And I took particular comfort from the fact that the Poles have come to Greece's defense. And it reminded me this is not the first time that this has happened. Back in 1683, Poland, once before, saved Europe from a Muslim invasion, and this was the Battle of Vienna, and the hero of the moment was a man named Jan Sobieski. He was a Polish prince, and he brought the Polish army in at a time when the Muslims, the Turks, were literally at the gates of Vienna. They punched that deep into the heartland of Europe. They were overwhelmingly defeated, and Europe was saved from a Muslim invasion for 350 years. Now, are we saved today? Well, that remains to be seen. This is a short movie about... That's the Sultan.
Be given to Sobieski, who is not of noble origin.
We, Prince of Bavaria, also feel it an opportune to trust such a command to a mere general.
Well, what is the opinion of our young lieutenant, Eugenio of Savoy?
Excellency, I have brought 1,000 Italian lancers with me, ready to die in defense of the Christian faith. Whoever commands the Holy Alliance, we are here to fight.
Oh, it will be a defeat. That's the real concept. 60,000 men against 300,000. And meaning only one thing. Defeat.
Let us hear what other Mako has to say.
Your Majesties, Excellencies, I am only a poor monk. I know nothing of strategies or plans of attack, but I do know that Vienna represents the survival of Christianity. I know that if you have faith, you will win. If you remain united, you will win. So if the King of Poland says he knows how to win this battle, let him explain to us.
Fine, that's very curious. Well, this is my plan. We'll attack the Turks from where they least expect it.
Oh, really? And where is that?
From Tarnberg. We'll get to the top of that damn mountain. And from up there, my cannons will give hell to the Muslim encampment. And I personally will charge from Tarnberg at the head of my winged hussars.
But it is not possible. There is no way to transport all the cannons up there.
Right. How do you propose we bring artillery to the top of Kahlenberg? There are no roads.
Vienna, Kahlenberg Mountain, September 11, 1683. Late at night, and they're moving the cannons up the mountain.
Sancte Michele Archangele, defende nos in pregion, contra nefidiam et insidias diaboli est opresidium. In terra illi Deus, subjuces de precamo, tuque princeps militia celestis,
according to the tree, the Polish army under command of King Charles Sobieski comes to the aid of the besieged Vienna on September 11, 1683. In a downpour of rain and lightning, Under the cover of night, tens of thousands of Polish hussars and dragoons climb steep slopes of Kahlenberg Mountain and deploy their units on top. On their way to Vienna, the Poles are witnesses to gruesome massacres of 30,000 Christian civilians by the invading Turks, Muslim Turks. A full-scale attack on all Allied forces. They set a strategic trap by attracting and involving the battle of the entire Ottoman Empire army, thus exposing its left flank at Kahlenberg. And this brilliant pincer strategy ended up with the destruction, the total destruction of the Ottoman or Turkish army. And cavalry. The battle was on September the 12th, 1683, in Vienna.
Is someone on top of the Kahlenberg?
I see him, Grand Vizier. Holding a cross.
Now the Turks realize the Polish artillery is on top of the mountain.
To turn a few cannons toward the mountain.
Sobieski's cavalry charged down off the mountain. Actually cut into the Turkish lines. Sobieski's cavalry had were winged. That is, they had this elaborate headdress of feathers. And the Poles with their red and white banner with a cross charge in the name of God. This is a magnificent charge into the Turkish ranks, already softened up by the artillery barrage. Into the Turkish cavalry. And this battle, basically, saved Christian Europe. The fighting spirit of the Poles has often been forgotten. And this is one of the key battles to the preserved Christian Europe. Well, one doesn't like to rejoice in anybody getting sick, but stupid is as stupid does. Breitbart reports that the TikTok star who licked toilets in the coronavirus challenge claims he tested positive for virus. An influencer on the China-owned social media platform TikTok has reportedly tested positive for the Chinese coronavirus after he licked a toilet bowl, and there's a video of him doing that, inside a public washroom in Beverly Hills, California on Friday. Thursday, the social media star who goes by the name Lars and Gay Sean Mendes posted a video of himself on Instagram as he lay in a hospital bed with a caption that read, "I got diagnosed with coronavirus. Hey guys, I'm really doped up on my medicine right now," even though the 21-year-old's Twitter account has been suspended. The video of him running his tongue along the toilet bowl is still making the rounds online. Monday, Police Sergeant Gabe Slaybaugh shared the video to his Twitter profile. In this video, Lars walked into the restroom and crouched next to the toilet with the seat up. He licked the bowl twice, then said coronavirus challenge and placed his tongue back on the toilet once more. It remains unclear if the stunt was directly linked to his alleged medical diagnosis, according to the New York Post. Quote, the social media influencer had previously appeared on the Dr. Phil show, where he drew criticism for boasting about how he licked tubs of ice cream before putting them back in store freezers, and claimed he made lots of money from his online following. Lars' initial video appeared to be part of an online coronavirus challenge started by 22-year-old social media influencer Ava Louise, who shared a video of herself performing the same stunt inside an airplane bathroom. And there's a video of this idiot twit. In the video posted to Twitter, Louise explained how she trolled the media after she became tired of the coronavirus dominating the headlines. Regardless of the coronavirus or not, such behavior is just, what can you say, beyond stupid. Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side. I'm going to take a little bit of a bluegrass musical interlude tonight. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com and, of course, Alt-Right TV.
wishing now the news done run away. Ed Johnson had an old gray mule, his name was Simon Slick. Back his ears and lift his tail, how that mule would kick. Competition now, and you'll have run away. I just heard a story about a boy and his gal been backed up in the mountains. This is back in them days in the East of Cordon mules, don't you know? This old fella's mules done got loose in the hitch right. He's a trying to get his mule and his gal friend together for all he's worth and can't do nothing with it. That fella sure got some troubles. I want a mule, I tied up the old mule's tail just to hear him better. There's my hand, little and pretty, fine as I could sew. I'd sew my sweetheart to my back and down the road I'd go. Oh, mule, I say, ain't got time to kiss him now, mule, and run away. Everyone I'm messing with my mule. I won't move on, I say, ain't got time to kiss you now, and you done run away.
chicken butt, and then they got him around his neck and picked him clean. Funniest chicken I ever seen. Hey,
Baffinay, you are for me.
Three cracks and just one dot, and that says who you think I am. Bad hog's missing the bow and the ham. Hey,
Baffinay, oh, Baffinay, hey, Baffinay,
you are for me. Nanny went to town one day, riding on a load of hay, sold a man a trip to Mars. Now she sits behind the bars. Hey, Baffinay, oh, Baffinay, hey, Baffinay, you are for me. Man put on her Sunday dress, thought that it wouldn't look the best, made out of an old big sack, got the feet wrote right on the back.
Hey, Baffinay, oh, Baffinay,
you are for me. Mary's got a pair of shoes and she can wear them if she'll choose. So why the heck she got the blues when she wants to wear a size 22? Hey,
Baffinay, oh, Baffinay, hey, Baffinay, you are for me.
Thank you.
Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me. Back with you again tomorrow, same time, here on altrighttv.com or whiteresistanceradio.com. This is Paul Fromm. I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. Our fair dominion now extends from Kilbrace to Nootka Sound. May peace forever be our lot and plenteous store abound. And may those ties of love be ours, which discord cannot sever, and flourish green o'er freedom's home.